Good morning, and welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's great to have you joining us for this morning's message. Today's lesson comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The lectionary for this week gives us just a small snippet of the story of Jonah that takes place after his fishy experience. I'm sure most everyone listening is familiar with Jonah's story. It has been a favorite taught to us since we were small in Sunday school class. Jonah is probably the most well-known of the minor prophets next to Daniel because of his experience with the big fish. But there's a lot more to Jonah's story than just his encounter with the fish. God calls Jonah to do a little job for him. He wants him to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach to the people of that city and tell them that they need to turn from their evil ways. God wants Jonah to give them a final warning and tell them he is planning to destroy the city because of the great evil its people are engaged in. However, God is still warning to give them one last chance to repent and to change their ways. The one thing that seems to be stopping Jonah from doing what God has asked him to do is the obsession that he has that the people of Nineveh receive justice, which in his opinion means punishment. Obsession. Obsession is not just a popular fragrance from Calvin Klein. Obsession is what drives some people to do some strange or ridiculous things, but also sometimes remarkable things. Take the example of Sonya Young, who lives in Tennessee. She is widely known throughout the community where she lives as the Purple Lady because of her passion for the color purple. She wears purple clothes, she eats purple food, and lives in a purple house. There are only a few kinds of cars she can drive because only a few companies offer their product in the color purple. As much as is possible, everything this lady owns, has, or uses is purple. Purple has become an obsession for her. Obsession is what drives some people to do some very silly things, or even some really weird things, like the desire to cross every suspension bridge in the world, or eat at every McDonald's restaurant in the U.S., or ride on every roller coaster in every amusement park in America. And then there is the woman with the passion for competitive baking, who has more than 3,000 blue ribbons that she has won over the years from her submissions to the Iowa State Fair. It's just a fact. People can be passionate about some really unusual things. And then there have been those who have been driven by an obsession to accomplish some remarkable things. Take the case of a little Albanian woman who was obsessed with caring for the poor. She founded the Missionaries of Charity, which gathered the destitute and dying from the streets of Calcutta, India, so that they might experience the love of Christ, at least in the last few days of their lives. Her obsession for helping the poor has given her a prominent place in history. We know her as Mother Teresa. So where do you think the prophet Jonah would fit into this strange menagerie of obsessive people? Like other obsessive compulsive individuals, Jonah has an obsession, or perhaps a better term might be a passion, that he simply cannot overcome. It's a passion as strong as anyone's hunger for a specific color, or to collect old comic books or old coins, or ride on roller coasters. Jonah's passion is for his people and his belief that the Assyrians, of which the city of Nineveh is its capital, are an enemy of Israel and are not worth saving, but should be destroyed. So when God asked him the first time to go to the great city of Nineveh and cry out against it, "For their wickedness has come up before me," Jonah runs away from God and from his responsibilities. What Jonah was most afraid of was not what would happen to him if he went, but what would not happen to the people of Nineveh. Jonah was afraid of success. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, a nation that had invaded Israel and sacked and looted it and tortured its inhabitants. The Assyrians were known for their cruelty. And now God wants to destroy their great city. So is it any wonder that Jonah was not very happy about being sent to preach to them? The last thing that Jonah wants to do is to save them from their fate. He wants them to get what they deserve. So Jonah decides that he will not go to Nineveh. Instead, he goes to Joppa and buys passage on a ship that will take him in the opposite direction. But then a storm overtakes the ship, and the crew tries in vain to make landfall, but cannot, in spite of their best efforts. After a while, the crew begins to believe that it's no ordinary storm, and they are convinced that someone must have done something to anger God and to bring this calamity upon them. They hold a lottery to determine who is responsible, and it falls to Jonah. So in order to save the ship and its crew, Jonah confesses to his role in all of this and tells them that they must cast him overboard. As Jonah sinks into the water, he probably thinks, "This is it for me," but God is not going to let him off that easily. So God sends a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and thus he is spared. 3 days in the belly of the fish gives Jonah some quality time to think, and he admits to God that he was wrong to run away. After he promises to do what God asked him to do, God commands the fish to cough him out on dry land. Now, haven't you ever wondered about how the poor fish felt about all of this? This huge thing that it was commanded to swallow whole? It had a lump in its stomach for 3 days. Poor fish probably had a horrible case of indigestion the whole time. Or could it be that the fish was thankful for a good meal and then felt a bit cheated when God said, "All right, go to shore and cough it up"? Well, enough of that. But one of the reasons that most everyone knows the story of Jonah has nothing to do with his message. So many people get caught up with arguing about whether it was a fish or a whale, or whether it was possible for Jonah to be swallowed, or whether a person could survive such an experience. We need to be careful when we engage in conversations like this, because focusing on these things can quickly get us sidetracked and engaged in petty arguments that cause us to miss the whole point of the story. I believe one of the main points of Jonah's story is about how quickly we are willing to pass judgment on other people while always giving ourselves the benefit of the doubt. Think carefully now. When we know someone has committed a crime or is caught up in a moral failure, don't we quickly cry out for justice, for them to receive punishment? We are quick to state they ought to get just what's coming to them. But then, if it is us or a member of our family who has committed a crime or gets caught in a moral failure, don't we then cry out for grace instead of justice? Jonah, and I'll bet many in Israel, had a problem, and the root of the problem is pride. They saw themselves as somehow just a little better than the people of Nineveh. Just like many of us, they thought that God should treat them just a little differently than everyone else. Jonah's attitude reminds me of something Harold Nicholson once said. "We are all inclined to judge ourselves by our ideals, but others by their acts." And don't you agree that this is most always true? While in the belly of the fish, Jonah is beginning to have a change of attitude. He is beginning to overcome his selfishness and pride and to sense that his life is not, in fact, just about him. And so, when he is back on dry land, he sets forth and goes to Nineveh. As he reaches the gates of the city, he heads straight down Main Street, crying out as he goes, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah is also beginning to understand the meaning of vocation. Most people believe that our passions shape our identity. When it comes to our passions, we should always check, though, to see if God is present. Where is God in the busyness of our everyday lives? Last week, we looked at the call of Samuel into the service of the Lord. God called him into the vocation of a prophet. The word vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. A vocation is a call from God, one that we are challenged to respond to with the investment of our time and our abilities. After the fish coughs him up, Jonah finally gets it. Most of us often have the same problem. We often see things differently when we hit a major bump on the road of life, or when life chews us up and spits us out. Jonah realizes that he cannot escape the call of God by running away or by immersing himself into some other obsession. He must respond to God's call and focus on the task that God has given to him. While there is nothing wrong with our little quirky obsessions, we always need to be sure that they do not interfere with what God is calling us to do. We often derive a great deal of satisfaction from our hobbies and our passions. However, our ultimate contentment and peace will only be realized when we respond to God's call on our lives. Fulfilling a passion we might have for purple things or finding everything we need to complete some collection is never going to give us ultimate satisfaction. Complete happiness will only be realized when we are fulfilling the purpose that God has for our lives. Biblical scholar Phyllis Trible tells us that Jonah is but one story out of the vast biblical narrative that chronicles the many interactions between the human and the divine, a narrative whose beginning is elusive and whose ending is yet to be written. This means that the story is about us, and we will have a part in writing the ending. As we do our part in helping to write another chapter in this story, when we respond to God's call in the way we represent Him and other Christians, we add to the story of us. When we choose to value people and use things instead of the other way around, we represent Christ well. When we honor the Lord through efforts that are honest and constructive and life-affirming toward others, we represent the Christian faith well. When we give of our time, talent, and treasure to support the ministries and missions of our church and for the cause of Christ, we represent all other Christians well. Now, there is nothing wrong with liking purple a little too much, and there is nothing wrong with the things we have a passion to collect, or even our quirky little obsessions, so long as we keep God and the things of God at the top of our list of priorities. As we think about Jonah's attitude toward the people of Nineveh, we also need to remember that God loves all of His children and desires that all of them would come to Him in repentance, and that God will always offer grace instead of punishment when there is a choice. When we see others come to faith in Christ and receive forgiveness, we should never forget all the ways that we have sinned and have fallen short of the mark. When you remember this, aren't you glad that you received grace from God instead of justice? Aren't you glad that God gave you grace instead of giving you what you deserved? I know I surely am. Thanks be to God for His grace and forgiveness. Amen.